Daniel chapter 8. And I thought it'd be helpful to start with a little bit of a recap for those of you who weren't with us last week. And kids, it's great to have you with us today because Daniel is such an exciting book and there's so much to learn. Let me pray and then I'm going to read to you from verse 3. Let's pray. And those of you who are old enough to read, you might like to follow along verse 3 in the Bibles, page 894, in just a minute. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray so much that you'd help us to understand more about who you are today. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to keep going as we remember that Jesus wins. Amen. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 3. Everyone looking down to your Bibles? I looked up and there before me was a ram. That's a kind of sheep with long horns, with two horns standing beside the canal, and the horns were long. One of the horns was longer than the other, but it grew up later. I watched as the ram charged towards the west and the north and the south. Now, I wonder if anyone here has got a favorite animal. Just raise your hand if you've got a favorite animal. Yes, yes, right at the back. Blake, what's your favorite animal? Blake. A great white shark, fantastic. That's a great animal. Anyone? Yes, George, have you got a favorite animal? A cat, very good. And then right at the back, is that Ellie? Ellie got a favorite animal?
Zebra.
Zebra, brilliant. Oh, fantastic. Did you know that some countries have their own favorite animals? If you live in Algeria, your favorite animal is a fox, slightly hard to see that. If you live in a certain African country, then the grey-crowned crane is your national animal. Does anyone know which country that might be? Yes?
Uganda.
Uganda, well done. Well done, Wisey and Alexi. And happy birthday to Hannah Wise for your birthday. Is it today? Oh, we better sing the birthday song very quickly. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. Every day of the year, may you know Jesus near. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. And the best one you've ever had. Woohoo! Well, it's so good to have you guys over with us from Uganda, and the grey-crowned crane is your national animal. If you're from South Korea, Bangladesh, or India, the tiger is your national symbol. You might know that in the days of the very difficult days during leading up to the Second World War, the Nazis had a symbol. This was a terrible regime in Germany that was very murderous, especially towards ethnic minorities. And the eagle was the Nazi regime symbol. Here's another one. I don't know if you can see this. There's a lion representing Britain. There's a cat representing Persia, which is sort of Iran. And there's a bear, which still represents Russia. Bear is the Russian symbol. And this was in Punch cartoon over 100 years ago. And the British lion is saying to the Russian bear, if we hadn't such a thorough understanding, I might almost be tempted to ask what you're doing there with our little playfellow. So the Russian bear is sitting on the Persian cat and the lion is looking on. Even today, we use sort of animal imagery to speak of nations. And that's the same in the book of Daniel. And Daniel is a strange world with symbolic numbers, scary imagery, and especially lots of beasts. But the big message that we need to remember today, which you can see left and right, is keep going because
Jesus wins.
That wasn't quite loud enough. Keep going because
Jesus wins.
Fantastic. Well, let's do a little bit of a recap for the adults of what we saw in Daniel 7. So I'm going to ask Andrew and Bethany to do a bit of a timeline. And for this, we're going to go from A to B. So Andrew, at the beginning, the beginning of time, and Bethany at the end of time, representing when Jesus comes back. Let's just make sure everyone can see this. We're very well organized with our string. Let's have a look at this timeline, and we're going to pin a few things on here just to remind you of some parts of history. So, that's great. So, Andrew representing creation at the beginning of time. Daniel is sort of in the Old Testament times,
somewhere around here. We're up here towards Bethany because Bethany's the end of time when Jesus comes back. And here's Jesus, somewhere here in the middle, not to scale. We don't know quite when Jesus is going to return either. Jesus did ascend to heaven, but we weren't expecting that right there. So Daniel, Jesus, and us. Now, we've been thinking in Daniel 7 of some horrible beastly kingdoms. This is the Babylonian kingdom, represented by a lion. And then here we've got the Medes and the Persians. Daniel actually lived between these two kingdoms. And they're all represented in Daniel 7. After the Medes and the Persians came the Greeks. And we're actually going to be thinking about the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks today. And then came a really nasty beast. We're going to put him in here somewhere. Which could represent the Romans, or it could point forward towards the end, just before when Jesus comes back, to think of the enemy of Jesus at the end of time. But what we've been seeing is that despite all these different kingdoms with all their scary moments, Jesus' kingdom is the one that really lasts. In fact, we'll put this one over Bethany because Jesus' kingdom lasts forever. Now, the Old Testament stretches from creation up to probably somewhere around here. And the New Testament starts with Jesus and it goes to somewhere here. There's actually a little bit in between the Old Testament and the New Testament where there's some Jewish literature that you can read called the Book of Maccabees and others. And they tell us about some of these parts of history. And this is where we are today. We don't know how long this piece of string is going to be until Jesus returns. But we do know that Jesus' kingdom is the one that rules forever. Because last week we saw in Daniel chapter 7 that there is a Son of Man who is led into the presence of the Ancient of Days, and he lives and rules forever. Well, I hope that helps us with a little bit of the timeline. Now, it's helpful because last week we saw the whole of history from Daniel right through to the return and the arrival of King Jesus to rule over all history. Today we're going to zoom in on this period. This is what Daniel 8 is about. And I think that's quite helpful because we don't live in the big picture. We live in the everyday moments, don't we? At school or at the hospital or in the staff room. So this chapter, I think, is going to be really helpful to remind us to keep going because but before we learn about chapter 8 and this little section here, we're going to sing a song now. And if the musicians would like to come forward. This song is a great song. Thanks, guys. Take a seat. Because it reminds us that generations rise and generations fall. That's just what Daniel has been teaching us. Different kingdoms come and go. Different rulers. They look so scary for a time, but then they die and they move on. But God's word is living and sure, and he rules forever. So why don't we stand, and why don't we sing this song, and then we'll have our reading from Daniel chapter 8. Let's stand. Well, in just a minute, Lizzie is going to come and help us with our reading from Daniel chapter 8. But I need someone who's going to act as Daniel today. And I wonder if maybe the birthday girl would like to be Daniel. Would you like to? You don't have to. I'm sure there'll be. Would you like to? Well done, Wisey. Coming up. Let's give her a round of applause. Now, do you want to stand on here? There you are. And here's a nice Daniel-style coat to wear. He's got some sort of fiery flames there from his friends who've been in the fiery furnace. That's great. Thank you. Now, Daniel, are you feeling a bit sleepy? I think you're feeling a little bit tired. I think it's time for a bit of a snooze because some of your visions came at night. And today we're going to see one of the most scary visions of all. And now anyone who's up the front might need to just go back a little bit because we've got some very scary beasts to unleash on you also. If Lizzie would like to come forward, Andrew and Bethany would like to head just through that little door. And let's prepare ourselves for this. Now, just before we start, Lizzie, if we could just have verse 1 and 2, first of all, that'd be really helpful.
So, in the third year of King Belshazzar's reign, I, Daniel, had a vision after the one that had already appeared to me. In my vision, I saw myself in the citadel of Susa, in the province of Elam, and in the vision, I was beside the Ulai Canal.
Brilliant, thank you. How are you feeling, Daniel? A bit snoozy. Ready for your vision? So actually, in this vision, we're not in Babylon, which is where Daniel actually is now. It's about 550 BC. But Daniel, in his mind, in his vision, is transported to, let's just pop it on the screen, transported to Elam, to the citadel of Susa. And there is the citadel of Susa today, somewhere in Persia, somewhere in the Iraq area, and by the canal. Now, it's very hard to see there, so I think we better put some water in place. We're by the canal, and this takes us forward from the time of Babylon. We're looking into the future to the time of the next kingdom, which is the Medes and the Persians. Are we ready to see what happens next? Thank you.
I looked up, and there before me was a ram with two horns. Standing beside the canal, and the horns were long. One of the horns was longer than the other, but grew up later. I watched the ram as it charged towards the west and the north and the south. No animal could stand against it, and none could rescue from its power. It did as it pleased, and it became great.
Wow, this is a strange dream. Daniel, what do you make of your dream, your vision so far? A bit scary? A little bit scary, yeah. I think this Daniel is a very brave Daniel, but even this Daniel is a little bit scared by this dream. What's going on? It's very strange, isn't it? We've got this ram. By the way, a big thank you to Joe Watson for making our amazing ram. If you've got your Bibles open on page 894, and if you look across the page to page 20, you'll see what the ram represents. It's very helpful. Sometimes in these visions, it's very hard to know exactly what's going on, and we can't get all of the details, but the Bible does tell us what it means. And in verse 20, it tells us that the ram is the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. These were the rulers that came up towards the end of Daniel's time in Babylon. And look, you can see the Medes and the Persians, this king, kings like Belshazzar charging around and thinking like they own the place and making it look pretty miserable for other people. Actually, this kingdom wasn't so bad because it was under this kingdom that the people went from Babylon back to their home country in Israel, back to Jerusalem. But it does look pretty scary, doesn't it? And we've got a lesson, I think, to learn from this first part of the story, and it's this. First lesson, expect ugly rulers to rise up, okay? So adults and kids, maybe in our lifetime, in our country, maybe in other countries, but we must expect ugly rulers to rise up. We sometimes sing a song which says, you might have seen bad things happening on the TV news, but the Lord is King. And we do, don't we? As we look at our TV screens, we see bad things happen. We see bad rulers rising up a little bit like this, perhaps a bit more like a bear, and charging across other nations and oppressing people. And we need to remember that even when life is tough, we need to keep going because
Jesus wins.
Most of you are ready for that, but let's just try again. We need to keep going because
Jesus wins.
Absolutely. Jesus wins. He's completely in control. But there are times when there are some nasty rulers. And it might even be that in our country as well, there might be bad rules that are made by our parliament that are beastly. They're not as God would have them be. That's the first lesson. Expect ugly leaders to rise, ugly rulers to rise up. Now, are you ready for the next part of the reading? Now, kids, gets even more scary now. We've got another animal to meet. Let's put the ram on that side of Daniel. And Lizzie, are you ready for the next part? Daniel, are you ready? You okay? Feeling all right? So far, so good? Brilliant. Let's go to the next part.
So, as I was thinking about this, suddenly a goat with a prominent horn between its eyes came from the west, crossing the whole earth without touching the ground. It came towards the two-horned ram I had seen standing beside the canal, and it charged at it in a great rage. I saw it attack the ram furiously, striking the ram and shattering its two horns. The ram was powerless to stand against it. The goat knocked it to the ground and trampled on it. And none could rescue the ram from its power. The goat became very great. So the goat became very great, but at the height of its power, the large horn was broken off. And in its place, four prominent horns grew up towards the four winds of heaven. Out of one of them came another horn, which started small but grew in power to the south and to the east and towards the beautiful land. It grew until it reached the host of the heavens, and it threw some of the starry host down to the earth, and it trampled on them. It set itself up to be as great as the commander of the army of the Lord. It took away the daily sacrifice from the Lord, and his sanctuary was thrown down. Because of rebellion, the Lord's people and the daily sacrifice were given over to it. It prospered in everything it did, and truth was thrown to the ground.
Wow. Should we give the goat a round of applause? Wow. Daniel, what do you think about that goat? Let me get the microphone. Who's got the microphone? What did you think about that goat? Bit scary?
Yep.
A lot? And how many horns did it have at the beginning?
One.
It, did you see it actually fell off when they were jousting? which was exactly right. That's what happens in the Bible reading. And just one horn, and then it gets replaced by how many?
Five.
Five, that's right. Four initially, and then a little horn, a proud, boastful horn rises up. Now, do you know which kingdom this refers to?
I don't.
No, you don't. Don't worry, because I didn't either. In fact, we need an angel later on to tell us what happens. And that comes up in verse 21, if you've got your Bibles open. And that tells us that the goat, this kind of unicorn goat with one horn, is actually the Greek Empire. Now, remember, this is happening hundreds of years before it happens. God is... Before the goat attacks before the Greeks attack the Medes and the Persians, but it's predicted hundreds of years before to Daniel in his dream. Now, there's some scary and strange things that happen in this part of the dream, including these horns. Now, remember that a horn represents a king, and there's a little horn. Let's just grab that horn. Maybe, Danny, if you hold the microphone. Let's just grab this horn. This is actually a real antler horn. Do you want to see that, Joshua? You hold on to that. Yeah, you guys can have a look at it. It's a real antler horn. It's a very small one because it obviously got broken off before it could grow big. But that's a real antler horn from a deer that I found in Scotland. And this horn is particularly nasty in the story because it attacks lots of people. I don't know if you saw in the background on the PowerPoint, but the stars were actually knocked from heaven. It's pretty scary what this horn does. This is all predicted into the future in Daniel's day. It's ahead of him on the timeline, but for us, it's in the past. And we can look back at what historians wrote about the Greeks and Alexander the Great, that huge big king, one big horn. He was super powerful. He came bounding across the world, across the Mediterranean Sea in the 2nd century BC, and he conquered Persia and all the kingdoms. And he was replaced by four different horns that came up, and one of them that came out of one of those horns was the antler. And we call him... and look, he took away the sacrifices. There's the lamp in the temple. He actually did this. He slaughtered a pig, something that was unclean in God's temple. And he put a picture of Zeus, an image of Zeus, which is a Roman god, up there for people to worship. It was a terrible time. And his name was Antiochus Epiphanes. But this is all predicted hundreds of years before. A nasty king. He wasn't massively famous across the world, but he was very well known to the Jewish people because he persecuted them and gave them such a hard time. And this is where the second lesson comes in. Daniel, are you ready for the second lesson? So the first lesson was expect ugly rulers to rise up, and we've all got to be ready for that to happen. But we've got to expect it to be even worse than that. We've got to expect ugly rulers to persecute. Now, Hannah Wise, we'll be out of costume just for a moment. Do you know what the word persecute means? Don't worry if you don't. Do any of the other children know what persecute means? Martha, do you know? Not sure. No, that was a good response, but not quite sure. No, probably it's not really a word that the children, maybe Lexi knows. Brilliant. Absolutely. Well done, Lex. Yeah. Persecuting is when the rulers, they pick on some of the believers. And for example, they put Daniel into the fiery furnace. Well, actually, it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace, wasn't it? Yeah. Daniel got fed to the lion's den. Yeah. So persecute is when a ruler picks on believers and gives them a really hard time, even kills them. Now, where's Sarah? Sarah, coming up to the front, because Sarah's got a very interesting story to say. If I can borrow that from Daniel and give it to Sarah. Sarah, am I right in thinking that you actually did a mission trip to a part of the world where you met people that were persecuted?
Yeah, so in, I think it was 2019, I went to South Korea, and we met lots of people that had defected from North Korea, either escaped for their faith or just because it's really awful in North Korea. It's really hard to live there.
Tell us a bit more about that. So I've got a picture on the screen. It's hard to see, but this is a statue, a really, really big statue of Kim Jong-un, who is the leader of that country. What's it like being a Christian in that place?
So being a Christian is, in this country, it's actually illegal. And so they see themselves as gods, really. You have to worship them. They have pictures in their houses that... they're not flat, they're kind of angled like this, so it's like they're looking down on you. It's illegal. So if you're found to have a Bible in your house, for example, then you can be put straight into prison camp, which isn't like, they're not like prisons here, they're more like in World War II, yeah, more like concentration camps. Yeah, it's really awful, I won't go into the details, but... it's just really tough. You have to be really secretive, so they have... really small gatherings, maybe of 2 to 4 people at most, in the middle of the night, and it has to be really quiet. They have radio broadcasts that, again, they have to have really low. So the charity I went with is called Open Doors, and they are one of the charities that they broadcast Christian, radio stations. It's really hard.
Am I right in thinking, you told me that when they gather and when they sing, they actually sing in whisper?
Yeah, so when I went to South Korea as the sort of mission trip, we did a service as if we were, like them, and we sung some of the songs kind of in whisper, and it was really impactful just realising how easy it is for us in this country. We don't have to think about any of that, but for them, it's like that. Even doing that is such a risk, because if anyone found out, they could be killed. Wow. So it's yeah.
What did you learn from the persecuted Christians that you met from North Korea?
What I've just shared, lots of other things about, I suppose, just how hard it is. And for example, in prison camps, if you're put into a prison camp, a lot of Christians will meet in the toilets because they're so disgusting that the guards won't even go in there. Wow. So it's one of those things, it's a safe-ish space. But it's also really awful that that's the conditions, that's the best they've got to meet together with.
Why do you think they keep going to think of our theme today? Why do you think they? I mean, I would probably want to give up unless I remembered the truths.
Yeah, I mean, that's the remarkable thing. Actually, Christianity is spreading, even though it's so tough. And I think it's partly because it is so, you have no control of your own life. You know, everything is dictated for you. So when you find this hope and, you know the gospel, it's so incredibly freeing that people will risk their lives to share it with others because it's, you know, it changes their own lives. And I mean, it should for us too, but I think when you're in such an oppressed country, it's so much more impactful, you know, having some sort of hope that maybe this isn't it. This life, there's more to it. There's, you know, thankfully, there's something else they have that they can live for.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Sarah, so much. And do chat more with Sarah over coffee if you'd like to hear more. Thank you very much. We'll give that back to Daniel. We're going to sing another song now. But don't forget to keep going because... Absolutely. Well, let's sing our song. Daniel, you've done brilliant. You take a break and have a seat back with the family, and we'll get you back for the last part of the, thank you very much, the last part of the story. Great. Well, let's sing together now. This song is called Nothing's Too Big. I was wondering if we could try doing it in whisper. I don't know if that'd be a little bit too difficult. I think that might be a little bit too difficult for an all-age service. But maybe one of these days we'll do one of our songs in a whisper. This is actually a very loud song because it reminds us why we can keep going, because nothing is too big for God. Hello, let's stand up and let's sing. Well, and Daniel, if you'd like to come up just for the last part of the reading, and if the rest of the kids would like to just sit down, because there might be some more people that we're going to meet in this story, and you wouldn't want to get hit by a beast, or in this case, an angel. Let's have our angels up to the front. We've got some holy ones, which I think refers to angels. There they are, Matt and Ben, our holy ones. And it's very encouraging to know that heaven is looking at the church, that the believers as they suffer. And they are really worried and want to know about what's going to happen. So let's listen in to this next part of the story with verses 13 and 14. Great.
Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to him,
"How long will it take for the vision to be fulfilled? The vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the rebellion that causes desolation, the surrender of the sanctuary and the trampling underfoot of the Lord's people."
He said to me,
"It will take 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the sanctuary will be reconsecrated."
Wow, this is really interesting. So within Daniel's vision, he's been given the amount of time it's going to take for when the temple, that's in the future, when the place where symbolically God dwells, how long it's going to be before it is sorted all out again. And it says, how many was it, Matt?
2,300.
2,300. That's about 6 years and 2 months, or if it's twice a day, about 3 years. Now, scholars debate exactly what this number represents. In apocalyptic literature, numbers are symbolic, so I don't think they have to be nailed down to exact details in history. But the good news is that this terrible persecution is not going to last forever. It's a limited time. 2,300 days, that's a lot. That's still a long time, but it's not forever. Let's listen to the last part of the story as we see everything explained by the angels to Daniel about what's going on.
While I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there before me stood one who looked like a man. And I heard a man's voice from the Ulai calling,
"Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision."
As he came near the place where I was standing, I was terrified and I fell prostrate.
Okay, Daniel, I think you better just sit down on the floor. Do you want a hand? You okay? Just lie down on the floor. You're so overwhelmed that you're lying on the floor, confused and lying on the floor, go for it. Yeah, just lying, completely confused, doesn't know what's going on. What happens next?
"Son of man,"
he said to me,
"understand that the vision concerns the time of the end."
While he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep, with my face to the ground, Then he touched me and raised me to my feet.
Up you get, Daniel.
Great. Well done.
He said,
I'm going to tell you what will happen later in the time of wrath, because the vision concerns the appointed time of the end. The two-horned ram that you saw represents the kings of Media and Persia. The shaggy goat is the king of Greece, and the large horn between its eyes is the first king. The four horns that replace the one that was broken off represent four kingdoms that will emerge from his nation, but will not have the same power. In the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a fierce-looking king, a master of intrigue, will arise. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy those who are mighty, the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior. When they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the prince of princes. Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. The vision of the evenings and mornings that has been given you is true, but seal up the vision, for it concerns the distant future.
I, Daniel, was worn out. I lay exhausted for several days. Then I got up and went about the king's business. I was appalled by the vision. It was beyond understanding.
Wow, let's give these guys a round of applause. Now, Daniel, you sit here, and I think you better sit down because you're so exhausted by this vision that you need a break. It's been absolutely exhausting to experience all that and to try and figure out what was going on. And a lot of it was explained by the vision. There was this horn, and the horn represented a bad ruler. But wonderfully, despite all the details, and it's quite hard to get our heads around all the details, did you see in verse 25 what happened? Yet, he will be, look at this, destroyed.
That didn't break.
It didn't break, but in the vision, it really did. That never work with children and animals. We've got both today. But in the vision, it was completely destroyed. That powerful king that was causing so much damage to God's people. In fact, we think in the times between the Old Testament and the New Testament, you can read about this if you've got a book which contains 1 and 2 Maccabees in the Jewish literature there. It tells us that this nasty king, he didn't last forever. And that's really the last thing that we need to learn today. Yes, ugly rulers will rise up. And we can expect them to get so nasty that they actually persecute God's people. But ugly rulers will not last. These different beastly kingdoms, they're not there anymore. Even Antiochus Epiphanes, such a nasty king in between the two testaments, did not last. He came shattering to the... Okay, he didn't quite shatter this time. But he's just a dead antler that has got no power anymore. Well, we've been seeing again and again today that we should keep going because
Jesus wins.
I guess a lot of us here today are followers of Jesus, and sometimes it gets tough. Sometimes it gets really tough, but even if it's just a little bit tough for you at the moment, remember to keep going because
Jesus.
When the ram or the goat rears its ugly head at you, hopefully not in class, but maybe someone might say that you're a Christian and that you're silly because you follow Jesus. Remember to keep going because and if you grow up and people are being put in prison because they're followers of Jesus, keep going because and if you grow up and you're one of those people that get put in prison for being a follower of Jesus, remember to keep going because and if anyone is not following Jesus today, they need to remember where history is going. It's Jesus who wins. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. and the wise and sensible. Your name means wise, doesn't it? Hannah Wise. Well, that's very good, isn't it? The wise people are those that keep going because Jesus wins. William is going to come and pray for us. Should we give Hannah Wise a big round of applause? Thank you very much for doing so well. You can keep that on. Go and grab a seat.